right, I invite you to take a copy of your copy of the Word of God with me to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8, as we keep going through this book of the Bible, finding wisdom for life, and the passage before us this evening talks about wisdom's creation and some things about how smart God was, the way He put this world together. It wasn't by accident. Proverbs chapter 8, the Bible says in verse 22, if you join me there already, Proverbs 8:22. The Bible says, "The Lord possessed me in the beginning of His way. Before His works of old, I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth, while as yet He had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When He prepared the heavens, I was there. When He set a compass upon the face of the depth, when He established the clouds above, when He strengthened the fountains of the deep, when He gave to the sea His decree, that the waters should not pass His commandment, when He appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by Him, as one brought up with Him, and I was daily His delight, rejoicing always before Him, rejoicing in the habitable part of His earth, and my delight were with, my delights were with the sons of men." God will bless His word, but as we look through here, you know, this whole text is about wisdom's cry as we began, and He talks about the personification of wisdom in verse 12, "I, wisdom." So when He says, "I am wisdom," in verse 17, "I love them," verse 20, "I lead in the way," 21, "that I may cause those." He's personifying wisdom. And of course, it can really go deeper than that. Wisdom itself, that you wouldn't have Almighty God, you would not have the God of the Bible without wisdom. There's no way we could have the God that's represented here in the Bible without wisdom being an attribute that He had. Three times in the New Testament, the Bible talks about our God being the only wise God. Now, you'd have to have a King James Bible because the other Bibles take that out. And I think that's very telling about this world. They do not want to acknowledge a God that has all wisdom, and only He knows what's best. But nevertheless, God is the only wise God. And you need, you know, you not just need a mighty God to create. You know, God could have been strong enough to create a world, but not wise enough to put it together to last. Follow my thinking. Just because you have the power to do something doesn't mean that you'll do it well. So when we look at this passage about wisdom and creation, we have a God that's Almighty God, that's able to do things that we can't even imagine, that can create the universe. But we not only have a God that has that power, but we have a God that has the wisdom to put the power with it. You can have all the power in the world, and if you don't have the wisdom to put with it, you're going to make a mess out of a lot of things. So God had the wisdom to create, not just the power to create. And that's why we also know that the Bible says all the atheists are fools. Because our text here that's describing wisdom is describing a creation, is describing a creator. In other words, you have no wisdom at all if you can't understand that this world did not have a creator behind it. Your brain has got to be way out on vacation to think that just things just popped out and everything was like it is. I mean, you talk about faith. It takes more faith in evolution than it ever took to believe in God, to believe in the God of the Bible. Wisdom says that you need to believe in the God of creation. Wisdom tells us that. Look at verse 27. I'll just skip down there just a second. He says in verse 27, when He, that's God, prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass on the face of the depth, in other words, God didn't just throw out all the heavens and let it just do what it wanted to do. He didn't make all the depths and just say, there you are. The Bible says that he took a compass. He measured what he did. That's fascinating to me. God measured the distance from the sun that he made, from the earth that he made, so that we would neither burn up nor freeze to death. He measured it with a compass. He measured the depths of the oceans. He set the paths of where they would not go over so there could be land that would be inhabited. He measured all of the stars in the universe and the planets. He used a compass. You say, a compass? Well, I'm just reading the Bible. He said he took a compass and he measured what he did. He prepared the heavens. I got sometimes when I preach out, I get a little bit too loose, you know. I say things I ought not say. But I was preaching, I was assigned a text in a Bible conference about wisdom. And, of course, that was the wrong thing to do since we've been preaching on wisdom for months and months. But I started talking about how, what if we had a God that wasn't so wise? And he made creation, and it wasn't such a smart creation. Can you imagine if God was like us, especially like people are today? He would have just put the planets out there and said, well, what are you going to do? You know, and the angel says, you know, Lord, I think Saturn's about to run into Jupiter. And the Lord says, well, we just believe in freedom. Let's just have everybody express herself like they want to. You know? Right? I mean, just let everybody just go wherever they want to go. But yeah, but Lord, I mean, Pluto's getting out of... Didn't you want a boundary for Pluto? And didn't you want the moon to stay where it was? Oh, let's just have freedom. Just let those planets go wherever. Aren't you glad God's not that dumb? You've got to be a man to be that dumb. You've got to be humanity not to have that sense. No, God says, Saturn, I want you to be right here, and here are the rings, and I'm going to count the number. What if those rings was just hitting that planet light? He had to design that and prepare that so it would still work. And our universe and our world has been working because we had a wise God that put it together. I mean, the stars could all be falling, you know. I mean, you know, every now and then you say, oh, there's a shooting star. And what if they just fail? One day he's going to let them during the tribulation period. But right now he made that creation perfect. What about you? I mean, aren't you glad God had wisdom? I mean, God made Adam, and then he says, you know what, he's lonely, so I'm going to make him another. I'm going to make him somebody. You know, I bet Adam was glad that Eve did not look like him. Right? How would you like to live in a marriage with somebody that looked like you? God could have done that. Okay, here's a second Adam. There you go. No, he made male and female. Because he's smart. Right? Again, you have to be a sinful man to mess that up. God in his wisdom did that. You know, all of us could have looked the same. Now think about how boring that would have been. All men just stick with the same pattern. There's so many variations that could have happened in God's creation. But God is so smart. He could have made all the men look alike and all the women look alike. How confusing would that have been? Well, it just doesn't matter. You think that's a little strange because you just take for granted how God and his wisdom put us together. You know, maybe he could have made some of us without noses. Or some of us with just one big eye. No, there's design. There's preparation in this. Aren't you glad your nose wasn't made upright? That one little detail, your nose pointing down is proof there's a God. Or you would drown when it rains. Or every time you sneeze, your hair would fly up. Would you think about that just a minute? God made you and he thought through what he did when he made you. He's wise. He's smart. And our text that we're looking at tonight is expounding upon the wisdom that was with God when he made the creation. And if he's that smart, man, I can't put Legos together. You understand? I can't put anything together. Everything that men touch has some kind of fault or something they didn't think through. I mean, what is the longest a car is going to last? You know, I mean, the best of cars. Man, this world that we're living in right now has been lasting for 6,000 years. Pretty good. You know why? God put it together with wisdom. By the way, if your life is going to last, if your family is going to last, you're going to have to put it together. You're going to have to let God put it together with wisdom as well. We need a wise God working in our lives. And so we have a wise God in creation. I want you to look there in verse number 22 where we started. He said, "The Lord possessed me." Now, of course, that's the personification of wisdom, that God possessed wisdom. But all the old writers that lived, you know, hundreds of years ago that I read, they really were focusing on something else besides just wisdom in this person. I did this. I was set up. I was by him. I was there. You know what the old-timey writers believe? They believe this is talking about Jesus Christ. Now, before you think that's not the case, you said the Lord possessed Jesus Christ. Just hold on. Hold your finger right there and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You do know that, as you're turning 1 Corinthians 1, you do know the Bible says in Hebrews 1, 2, by him, that's by Jesus Christ, he made the worlds. You do know that Ephesians 3, 9, that the Bible says he created all things by Jesus Christ. Colossians 1, 16, by him, Jesus Christ, were all things created. Revelation 4, 11, thou hast created all things, speaking of Jesus Christ, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So there's no question that Jesus Christ, the second person, the Son of God, there with God the Father and God the Spirit, all together, that it was the person of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, that was the instrument for the creation. You understand that from those verses that we just read. Now, what I just quoted to you. Now look at 1 Corinthians 1:24. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:24, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, watch it, Christ, the power of God, and the what? One of the names for Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. He has many names. One of his names is the Word. And the Word that was made flesh, that Word was all the knowledge and all the understanding. It goes to that wisdom. Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. So I don't think we would do any disservice to the text in Proverbs chapter 8 if we look at this text based upon thinking about our Lord that created all things and that God by him created all things. He says in verse 22, but let's go through this text because I think there needs to be some comments made. Proverbs 8:22. The Lord possessed me. Now, again, it's good you have a King James Bible because if you believed in the Septuagint, which we don't believe that is an accurate representation of the Word of God. If you don't know what a Septuagint is, it is a Greek translation of the Old Testament, which is written in Hebrew, and people have said that Jesus quoted it, so we can quote it and we can use it, and that's a lie. That's not true. The Septuagint did come along long after Jesus Christ and the apostles. But what I'm pointing out by that is by this. The Septuagint says, the Lord made me. Now, this is what's happened. People have taken passages like that and mistranslated them and said that, see, that Jesus Christ, they'll say, sure, this is talking about Jesus Christ, the Creator. And they say, see, Jesus Christ was made. The Son of God was a created being. And there you get into the heresies, the Jehovah Witnesses, and the heresies of the Mormons, and not just them, by the way, the heresies of the Muslims, and the heresies of the Hindus, and the heresies of the Buddhists. None of those religions believe that Jesus Christ was God himself. They believe he was a created being. He was another God. It's polytheism, just another God. In other words, God made Jesus Christ. That's heresy. That goes all the way back to a guy named Arius, Arianism, which just is a denial of the deity of Christ. And by the way, no one will be in heaven that does not believe that Jesus Christ is God. Nobody's going to be there. You're not going to be there. The Bible says, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. So that's a test of whether someone is born again. If they don't believe Jesus Christ is God, they're out. So, but the Bible doesn't say that he made me. It didn't say the Lord made me. It said the Lord, what's that word? Possessed. Well, what does that mean? Well, I started looking up that word possessed. You know, usually in the Bible, when the Bible talks about possessed in the Old Testament, it's talking about somebody possessing land. It's talking about where people live, where people dwell. The Lord possessed me. Well, I think I read something in the Bible that says, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. But not only that, I got my dictionary out. I said, maybe I don't quite understand all the words, you know. It's good to read the dictionary. It'll help you. So I got the word, the old 1828 dictionary, read the word possessed. And you know what it said? It said to enjoy. Something that is possessed is something that is enjoyed. By the way, that'll shed light on devil possession in the New Testament. The devils love to possess and dwell in someone else's body. But that's for another time. The Bible said that the Lord possessed me. I think that, you know, Jesus said when he was praying there in John 17, we hadn't got there going through that book. Jesus prayed in John 17, he says, Lord, he says, I'm looking forward to that glory that I had with you, Father, before the foundation of the world. In other words, before anything was created, like this passage over here, here's God the Father, and here's God the Son, and here's God the Holy Ghost. Do you know what the Bible says? God the Father was enjoying his Son. He was enjoying his Son, watching by his Son to create all things. God the Son is bringing joy to the Father. And all of the Godhead is possessed within the Son of God, the equal, one God in three persons. I think that's what he's trying to say. But let's keep reading verse 22. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way. In other words, when God began, I was there, you see. When God started working, I was there. That's a name for Jesus Christ, is the beginning, you see. He said in Revelation 1:8, Revelation 21:6, Revelation 22:13, he said, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Right at the beginning of God's way, there is Jesus Christ. He's not an afterthought. Jesus had no beginning. He was there at the beginning. Some of these people that have perverted the Bible have said that Revelation 3:14 that says about Jesus Christ, he was the beginning of the creation of God. They have said that means that Jesus was the first thing God created, but that's not what it says. It says that Jesus is the beginning of the creation of God. Jesus began the creation of God. He was the beginning of it. He was the initiator of it. By him, all things that are made were made by him, you see. And so the Bible says in the beginning of his way, look at verse 22 again, before his works of old. In other words, before God started doing, have you ever, that boggles my mind sometimes. You ever thought about what did God do before anything was created? Evidently, he just enjoyed himself. Amen. And he was filled with wisdom, according to this text, before he did anything. Boy, that's so important. You know, before you do anything, it might be good for you to fill up with some wisdom. Do you see that? In the beginning of his way, he says, before his works of old, before God did anything, there is wisdom embodied in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wisdom is filled up right there waiting before God starts making things. Before you make choices of your life, you better have wisdom before you make those choices. Before you take that job, before you marry that person, before you make those decisions in your life that are going to have a profound impact for a long way to come, aren't you glad that God started his creation before that with wisdom? And he didn't just, this is what we do. You know what we do? On the fly, we try to fix things. Instead of having it all planned out, we hit a roadblock and say, oh, what am I going to do now? And we change the plan. And then we go a little farther and try to do something, and we hit another roadblock. What am I going to do now? Well, let me read something. Let me call somebody. Let me fix this. But I'm glad God didn't do that with the universe. He wasn't a work in progress. He knew exactly what he was going to do before he did anything. You know why? He was full of wisdom. Boy, we better fill our hearts with wisdom before we try to just work it out on the way. We better have some of God's wisdom. We're going to make a mess. You're not going to go back and start and say, well, I made all those stars backwards. What am I going to do now? I'm telling you, if God didn't start to work before he had wisdom, what does that say about me? Verse 23, would you look at it? The Bible says, I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. Now, if this is about Jesus Christ, I was set up from everlasting. You can't set someone up that's not already there. You see that? The Bible says, from everlasting. If you go back as far as you can go, forever and ever and ever, I was set up there. That means that's showing that Jesus Christ is the exalted Son of God and the eternal Son of God all the way back even from the beginning and before the beginning. From the beginning, he was already there. Or ever the earth was. Look at verse 24. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. It's like God the Father brings the Son on the stage of creation and says, all right, have at it, Son. Create it. I was brought up. I was set up. I was exalted. You can say that's wisdom. It looks more like God exalting his Son in the creation. God exalting the Son of God before anything happens. He brings him forth and says, there you go, have at it. The Bible says, when there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there was no fountains abounding with water. Verse 24, I thought about that depths, and it made me go to Genesis 1 in that creation. Go, would you grab that? Genesis 1, and with your other hand, get 1 Corinthians 2. This is a strange little fact. God says there's a lot. Before the depths, I was there. When there was no depth, I was brought forth. I was there before anything was deep. He said in Genesis 1, you know the verse 2. Genesis 1, 2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the what? The deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the water. It's interesting when God talks about deep things, he puts the Spirit of God there on it. Look at 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, watch this. Verse number 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. You see that? Before there were any depths in the creation, there were deep things in the heart and mind of God. Now you think I'm not out of context? I'm out of context? Look at verse 6 of this same. Well, verse 5. Well, it's all through here. I can't even go up. When you start in 1 Corinthians 2, in verse 1 he talks about wisdom. In verse 4, he talks about man's wisdom. Verse 5, man's wisdom. Verse 6, he talks about wisdom and wisdom of this world. Look at verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom. And then he talks about the Spirit of God revealing things to us and searching the deep things of God. There are things in the mind and heart of God that were there before there was any creation that were so deep. And the Spirit of God says, if you belong to me, I can let you in on some of the deep things. Now look, I would be content with know some of the surface things. Most people haven't even got down in ankle deep water. And the Holy Ghost is wanting to give us understanding of the deep things of God. God is full of wisdom. And what I'm trying to tell you, through his Spirit, he wants to give us wisdom. What a creator that would even want to have anything to do. Can you imagine? Has anybody, any adult in here ever taught kindergarten? First grade? Okay, here's a couple. Look, I can teach the Bible. If you ask me to teach a kindergarten class, I'm probably going to have trouble. You know what I'm going to have trouble do? I'm going to have trouble relating. A says I. I'm going to have difficulty with that. Because and when they don't get it, why don't you understand that? Why can't you read? It's a three-letter word. But can you say that? I wouldn't do that. I'm just... But when you're way up here and somebody else is way down there, you know, it is harder. It was harder. I'll say this. It was harder for me to preach Thursday and Friday in Bible school than it is for me to preach right now. Now, if you may not understand that, but if you've tried to communicate to a mind that's down here, you got to be very cunning to do that. But now you think about God. God says, as high as the heaven is, so are my thoughts above your thoughts. And God says, I got all this wisdom. Let's see if I can give them to these people. Let me give my wisdom. Why would he even bother? But he does. He does through his Spirit, through his Word. He wants to impart to us his wisdom. The Bible says those deep things, they were there before the creation with God. Look at verse 25. I'm back in Proverbs 8, going through the text. He says in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 25, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. God is higher than the hills. God is more, man is impressed with the mountains. He's impressed with Everest. Y'all seen all these news stories, all these people dying lately on Mount Everest? A lot of them. I don't know why anybody want to go up there. Animals no better than even go up there. Amen. I don't have any. Wow, but it's tall and high. And God says, you don't even know high. Before the mountains were, I was, before they were settled, before the hills were brought forth, I'm higher than all that. The Bible says in Psalm 65:6 that he set those mountains by his strength, but he not only set them by his strength, he set them by his wisdom. In Psalm 90 verse 2, it says, God himself is before those mountains. And that's why this probably can reference the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 26. Next verse, Proverbs 8:26. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. That's strange. But that says that God made things. He made the earth. He made the fields. He made the dust. You know, one thing man cannot get his head around, matter is not eternal. The universe is not eternal. Only God is eternal. And everything we see was made by that God. There had to be a maker. There had to be a creator. And God was doing just fine before he made anything. But God, in his wisdom, made the earth. He made the fields. Now look at that last phrase, 26. The highest part of the dust of the world. Oh, that's strange. All, you know, the dust, that's particles. Particles. God even made the little bitty particles. You know, that Bible talks about the elements of the world. He said that in 2 Peter chapter 3. You know, the elements of this world, all the elements that make up this world, all the atoms and the protons and the neutrons and the electrons and all the other stuff that I don't even know what it is, all that little stuff in matter that's out there that makes up stuff. All that dust, that microscope. God says, I made you, I'll make you. He made the little bitty particles. Not just the sand on the sea, but the particles that make up everything else. And you know what he's going to do with those particles one day, the Bible says? He's going to melt them down like somebody would melt a bar of gold. He's going to melt the elements with fervent heat. God knows how to make the elements. He knows how to destroy the elements. He's the maker. He's the creator. The Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we do good to ask ourselves a question like God asked Job. You know, one of the roughest things God ever said to anybody. You know, the Bible said also in Job that God hung the world on nothing. I think that's a great phrase. Why don't we just go spinning out through the universe? We're hanging on nothing, but it feels pretty solid, right? God says, I'm going to confound the wise. I'm just going to spin this ball and just hang it there. Wow. Why does it keep spinning? What's that law of, is it the second law of thermodynamics or the first or the third, or I don't know, that everything's got to run down? Well, the earth's not, which law is that? Somebody knows. Second, was I right? Okay, you know like I do. Everything's got to run. Well, the earth's spinning. It's been spinning for 6,000 years. Why hasn't it slowed down? God must have spun it pretty hard. He's wise in keeping it going. He holds it together. And he made it that way. But God came to Job, and Job was looking at his life, and he was sort of out of sorts with God, you know, about what's going on in his life. God, are you sure you know what you're doing? My kids died. God, are you sure you know what you're doing? I've lost all my goods, all my wealth, everything I own. God, I've just tried to do right, and I don't even have my health. And my wife over here, she keeps telling me to curse you and die. God, what are you doing? Have you just left? And I pray to you, and nothing happens. Are you listening to me? God, do you not know what's going on? And all my friends just running, and nothing gets better. And look, you know when God came to Job and he finally talked to Job, you know what he said to Job? He said, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding." Right there, I would have gone and got me a little paper hat and wrote dunce on it and stuck it on my head and said, sorry. Job's trying to figure everything out in his life, and God says, you don't know diddly about diddly, son. You don't know that there's a devil here working on you. You don't know of my bigger plan. You don't know that for all of human history, people are going to talk about your name in a book. You don't know how your life is going to help other people and how it's going to glorify God. Did you know how to put the earth together? Did you know how to make Jupiter the biggest one with the eyeball? Did you know how to make gravity work? Did you know how to put the core in the earth and the mantle and then the... Tell me, talk to me, Job. You got understanding? And when God gets through with Job, he says, I abhor myself. That's what he said. I don't know anything, God. You know what, God? You're a wise God. If you can make everything, I think I'll just trust you from here on out. You know what's going on. I don't know what's going on. But you're a wise God. Wisdom's creation testifies to my heart that I need to trust you and not doubt you. I know how we get in a mess when we lean into our own understanding and we don't trust the wisdom of a great God and Creator. Well, let's get another verse. He said in verse 28, we'll get about finished here. He said 28, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep. You know, it's amazing how God made our water system. We could have had a world without clouds. Aren't you glad God in his wisdom? What if the sky was orange? Wouldn't that be a drag? I mean, we'd all have to be Tennessee fans or something. I mean, good night. Who hates that old pumpkin orange? Would you like to look up at that every day? No. He made the blue sky and the green grass. And he put little pillowy white clouds up there. Why did he do that? He didn't do that just for beauty, though it's beautiful. He also did that to bring water back and forth from the earth. The fountains of the deep and the evaporation, it goes up in the clouds and the clouds bring it. It is ingenious. It's amazing. And man thinks he's smart and he don't even know when it's going to rain. And God knows how to make the clouds that will rain. What an amazing God. Why would I look to man? He said, I made all those clouds. I did all that stuff. Verse 29. When he gave to the sea his decree, watch it, that the water should not pass his commandment. When he appointed the foundations of the earth, God, Jesus Christ, commanded the waters what to do. He decreed what the sea. You know why our world works? Because it obeys God. That's the only reason. What about global warming? That is the biggest joke on the face of the earth. The world is doing exactly what God told it to do. Obeying his commandment, his decree. Wisdom, the inanimate world has more understanding than humanity. By the way, I forgot something. You see that up there about that dust of the world? Verse 26, the highest part of the dust of the world. I forgot. It's not just all these particles of dust that make up our... You know what else is dust? You and me. God made those... It'd be good if man saw himself as just a little particle of dust. The high... Well, yes, man has risen to the top of the creation. Maybe we're the highest part of the dust of the world, but we're still dust. That's what Job said too. I'm just dust and ashes, you know. Just dust. The Bible says in verse 30, then I was by him. There's God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost just standing there together working on this creation. Then I was by him as one brought up with him. You say, well, that's strange. Jesus. Now watch it. It doesn't say I was brought up by him. It's not like God the Father bringing up the Lord Jesus Christ as a child. It says as one brought up with him. You ever said that? He and I, we were brought up together. You ever heard that phrase? You know what that means? You had the same experiences. Usually you're the same age. You went through the same things together. Went through the same school, same neighborhood. We were brought up together. You know what the Bible says about the wisdom incarnate in Jesus Christ? He was brought up with God the Father. In other words, he was always there. They were always together. They came up together. They're the same eternal, everlasting God. Then he says, watch it, I've got to finish. Verse 30. I love it. Then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight. You see that? I really believe this. I believe when God made all that creation in Genesis, and you know the Bible says, and God saw that it was good. You remember all that? It was very, all that creation pleased him. It pleased Jesus Christ. He'd make it. He said, that's good. But you know what? You know what else was happening? God the Father was looking at God the Son. He said, boy, that's good, son. His delight was in his Son that was creating these. You see that? You know, when Jesus Christ was incarnate, when God became incarnate as a man and walked this earth, you know, the same thing happened. The delights of God were always in Jesus Christ. He did all those things that pleased the Father. He was the only begotten Son whom God was well pleased. I was daily his delight. You know what wisdom would tell me? Wisdom would tell me, you know what I need to do? I need to daily be a delight to the Lord. We read the verse about delight thyself in the Lord and he'll give thee the desires of thine heart. What about God delighting in you, watching you, because you're living a life of wisdom? I was daily his delight. Watch it, I'm finishing. Rejoicing always before God the Son, rejoicing. I bet that's great. You know, God's not a deadhead. When God's making the world, Jesus is going, woo! Glory! Oh, that's great! Rejoice. That's what he said. The context is creation. He said, rejoicing before him always. Man. You know that Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2, one day Jesus Christ is going to sing in the midst of all of us, his brethren. He's going to rejoice. You know that next verse says rejoice too. Look at it. Rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth. God is a God of rejoicing. Can I tell you this to you? Say this to you? If you're not a rejoicing Christian, you're not living a life of wisdom somewhere. Something's missing. You say, well, Jesus was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Yes, and the Bible says when he was hanging on the cross, he had joy set before him. You say, how can you be sorrowful and rejoicing at the same time? I don't know, but I think we need to tap into it. Because he was. He was joyful and sorrowful at the same time. You know what was the Lord's joy? So again, the people that sucked on lemons and you're always a sourpuss and there's something wrong with you. You're not living a life of wisdom. Jesus Christ is rejoicing at creation. The angels of God are rejoicing at creation. And here's a Christian. Be glad your nose is not upside down. Be thankful to a wise God that wants to help you. Rejoice in the Lord always. That's what he says. He's always there rejoicing. He's just giving us the example that we need to follow. Do it on credit. I've said that before. You do everything else on credit. Rejoice on credit. Just praise him. Just praise him and thank him. Try it. It'll help you. You say other things you don't mean. You might as well say good things you don't mean. And then maybe you'll get in the mood. It's better than living a sourpuss life. I'm telling you, the God of creation is a rejoicing God. And wisdom gave him, he knew all that was good. But the last thing, I'm finished. Verse 31, God's delight was in his son that was creating in verse 30, but what was the Lord's delight? What was this epitome of wisdom's delight? Now, this is what I really don't understand. 31, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. That didn't say son of man as in Adam. It said plural, sons of men. You know, there were no sons of men until after there was a fall. You say, preacher, how can the Lord delight in the sons of men that are fallen creatures the same way he can hang on a cross and have joy set before him, which is us? He shall see his seed, you see. He's rejoicing because he sees us. You said, yeah, well, we're saved. I bet you do a lot more things to disappoint him than you do to make him happy. But he still delights in you. He loves you. What gives God joy? Aren't the dogs running around? It's not the giraffes eating the tree. It's not the planets spinning in the universe. It's not the waves of Niagara Falls. When Jesus wants delight, he looks at the sons of men, the people that he loved, people that he died for. And we can put that smile on his heart like no other part of creation. I don't know about you, I'd like to do that. I'd like to bring him delight.